Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we discuss our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula.
On to Gone with the Wind, and what are some of the domestic abuse issues or violence that we see in Gone with the Wind? And as you said, oof, there are so many choices.
Yes, there are. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Slavery. And we are dealing with a time in the South where we're in this transition between having enslaved people and freedom, but that freedom isn't really freedom in many ways.
Yeah.
Slavery is, by definition, violent and abusive.
Yes.
And yes, we do see some instances of that abuse and violence. I would say that Mitchell softens a lot of the depiction.
Yes, because we're supposed to believe that the characters in this book, the main characters, the O'Haras and the Wilkes family, they are kind slave owners, right? She's not writing about families who were awful, horrible, abusive, cruel slave owners. So, you know, now, obviously, that is the first big hard pill to swallow, because by definition, if you're a slave owner, that's bad. You're cruel. You cannot own another human being. And, you know, in our modern world, we do not accept the premise that Margaret Mitchell is giving us, right? We are not accepting that there were kind slave owners, okay? However, this is a novel. This is a work of fiction. We are treating it as a work of fiction in our project that is based on historical time period, correct? And so let's accept, you don't have to agree with her, but let's accept Margaret Mitchell's point of view that the main families in her story were not, they are kind to their slaves. It's hard to say. It's like impossible to say. You can't say that. The words don't want to come out of my mouth to say they were kind to their slaves. You know, it's just horrible. By definition, the premise of books like this, stories like this, is just impossible to take. And yet, you know, we're talking about this book as though we can accept the premise. If we can accept the premise of the other books, then we got to accept the premise of this book, because they're all novels. They're fiction, right? This isn't a documentary style book. This isn't a history book that you would, you know, be learning history in a classroom from. This is a novel. So without defending the kind slave owners, we will kind of try to accept that that's the perspective that Margaret Mitchell was writing about or with. Does that
and
make sense?
And hand in hand with that is that she wants us to believe that there are several slaves that consider themselves to be loyal family members.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also very hard to say. I mean, you know, these are premises that by modern standards we refute. We do not agree with. We do not accept as valid. Given when this book was written and the time period that it's set in, the historical reality of the time period it's set in, we will try to talk about it in terms of itself as that novel, not as our own personal modern, you know, beliefs about. We can't even talk about this book. I mean, that we need to talk about. We need to talk about these issues. If for no other reason, then we make it absolutely fundamentally clear to people that slavery, by definition, is abusive and cruel. There were no good slave owners. This premise is false, right? That's kind of how I feel about it. It's so hard to it's so hard to find the right words to discuss the enslavement of a people, you know?
Right. Now, aside from slavery, there mm-hmm. are some other instances of violence. And yeah. one of them shows Scarlett in a pretty heroic light, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, when the most striking ones, you know, obviously, yes, number one, when Scarlett shoots the Yankee deserter at Terra before the war has ended. So he's a deserter, but the war is still raging. So she's basically killed a Yankee soldier. The fact that he's a deserter doesn't really... I mean, she would be hanged for this, is what I'm trying to say. This is a hanging offense. This is murder of a Yankee soldier, and she probably would have been put to death. She is defending her land. She is defending her loved ones. He's a deserter coming to rob them. Possibly, it's alluded that, you know, he might have rape on his mind as well when he finds her alone in the house. And the language he uses when he talks to her and everything, certainly you could see that it could have gone that way. The scene could have gone that way. He doesn't know there are other people on the plantation. Most of the rest of the family is out in the field working the cotton. Scarlett's sisters, you know, they're all out in the fields. And Melanie is the only other one in the house, but she's recovering from having had Beau and that trip from Atlanta. And she's, you know, how does Scarlett put it? She's weak as a newborn kitten or something like that. So, yeah, Scarlett shoots and kills him, and they hide the body. Because this is the classic self-defense, protect your family and your property, right? This is gun rights. Jeez, this is, so much of this book is difficult, isn't it? I mean, this is just really tough. But it is one of her shining moments for us, isn't it? In the context of the fictional story we're talking about, I mean, you just love it when she kills this bad guy. I mean, he's a bad guy.
Well, and I think when I call it heroic, I don't mean that, you know, killing someone's heroic. I mean that this is, we have seen her slowly, you know, she's felt so confined by her role, mm-hmm. and society's forced her into this passive role and just takes
as a woman, right?
Mm-hmm. Life.
Yeah.
And so here, I mean, she is just like, I am right. taking control here.
Yeah, and there's, you have to also remember that in the historical time period that this story takes place, women, especially nice southern gentlewomen, would not take up arms, would not be shooting a gun under any circumstances, other than possibly hunting or for, quote, sport, you know? But Scarlett never did that. That wasn't part of her life. This is a totally alien thing that she has to do to save her family and herself and her property. And so she does, it is heroic in that it goes against everything she's been taught. I mean, she's Catholic, for God's sakes, you know? I mean, you know, everything she's been taught from childhood on would tell her murder is, you know, you cannot shoot this man no matter what he's doing. And yet she does it. Now, for the rest of the book, she doesn't want anybody to know that she did this. It's very clear that this is something that cannot come out. She does tell Rhett about it eventually, and then she, of course, worries that he'll hold it over her or something. But, I mean, very few people know that she did this. And partly because she would have been in some sort of legal trouble, possibly, and partly because it would have just diminished her as a woman, as a human in the society she lived in. So it's a heroic thing that has some ramifications for the rest of her life, as taking a life should, right? But but I think there's a point at which later in the book she says something about she's not sorry that she did it, but she still doesn't want people to know she did it, you know? It's one of those things. So
well, and I think also what's interesting about this moment is she and Melanie kind of become united
yes.
in this violent act, which is also a protective act.
Yes, because Melanie comes out of her bedroom dragging her dead brother's, Charles's, sword. because she hears something bad is happening. She's not sure what, but she hears the male voice, and it's not one of their guys, you know. That, and so she's coming to help defend, even though she can't even lift the sword. And it is her courage that Scarlet admires, and it's the first time, really, that she almost unconsciously bonds with Melanie. I think she doesn't really admit to herself how much that moment meant for the two of them. In the book, it's much stronger than it is in the movie. I will say that. I'm going to always say, please read the book. Don't just watch the movie. You know, so that is a very striking and violent moment in the story. Another one that comes to mind is when, it happens before that, that we just talked about, is when Melanie goes into labor during the burning of Atlanta, when they're still in Atlanta. That whole, it's not one scene. Melanie's in labor for a while. The city is falling. The city, the Confederate Army is retreating and burning everything as they leave, so that there's nothing left for the Yankees to have when they come, right? So the world is falling around their heads, literally. And Melanie goes into labor, and the violence of that atmosphere is enhanced, especially when Scarlet is trying to get some help from the doctor, and she goes to the car shed at the railway station, and all the soldiers are laid out wounded, and she realizes doctor's not coming to help deliver a baby. And that's a terribly, I mean, you see the violence of war in that scene, right? And then when she goes back to the house and tells Melanie the doctor's not coming, and then that's when she yells at Prissy on the stairs and slaps her and threatens to sell her south. That's a very ugly scene. I mean, this is a white woman slapping a younger, let's say teenage, slave girl and threatening to sell her because she finds out that this girl has lied to her. You know, Prissy has told her all this whole time Melanie's been pregnant. Don't worry, I know everything about birthing babies. You know, my mama taught me everything. And then it turns out when the time comes, she knows nothing about birthing babies. And so Scarlet is on her own to deliver a child. This would have been the worst possible thing that Scarlet would have to try to do, you know, deliver a baby. There'd be no way she's prepared for this. And so the violence of all of that, the abuse towards Prissy when she slaps her and threatens to sell her, the violence of the war and everything that's happening in the atmosphere, and the pain and agony that Melanie goes through to have little Bo. I mean, it's just a very violent section of the book, I think. It's very striking.
Right. And I think Scarlet has every right to be angry at Prissy because she is, you know,
she was counting on her. Yeah,
Scarlet was. She's putting the life of Melanie and the unborn child at risk.
Yeah.
But I think that Scarlet's reaction is way crossing the line.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's and her own mother and father, the kind slave owners, would have just been horrified that she had struck a slave. They would, that, you know, even in her own fictional, you know, the fictional world that Margaret Mitchell created for this girl, and I call her a girl because at this point Scarlett's not really that old, but this young woman, in the fictional world that Margaret Mitchell created for Scarlett O'Hara, this behavior, slapping Prissy, slapping a slave, would have been just absolutely no way would that happen under the roof of her mother and father. I mean, it would have been absolutely out of line. So she's lost it, right? She's given in to the violence and the fear and the war and the, you know, everything. And the, and you know, I will say that, you know, when she turns to go back upstairs to Melanie, the look on her face in the movie is priceless. That's a great moment where Scarlet is looking up there like she knows she's going to have to go up there and deliver that baby alone. And the look on Vivien Leigh's face is just priceless. I mean, she did a really good job with that part. Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.